standing for our scripture and then our praise hymn. Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." In Christ alone. Let's pray. Father, we come here and we stand in the midst of Your presence and Your power. Lord, the power that brought You from the tomb, Lord. That power that's still present in our midst today, may it move us now, bring us closer, and may it inspire us to go out into this world in which You have placed us and carry Your good news. Lord, we honor You once again. May all that is spoken, all that is sung, all that is prayed, all praise that is lifted, may it be to Your glory and Your honor. In Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning in Sunday school class, Vance made the comment that about something. He was talking about, yeah, I see you, Vance, there. You're taking it up. And Vance quoted some very knowledgeable people in Sunday school this morning, and me being one of them. And so I'm going to quote him now, you know, in return the favor. Vance said something about the fact when we were, some particular thing that we were talking about things and stuff getting in the way. He says, now Fred, you've talked about that a lot, haven't you? And so, yeah, I have. And so I'm going to talk to you again today about something, not necessarily stuff and things, but something that you're not unaccustomed to me talking about. And it's our call and our God's commandment to us in this passage of Scripture that I read to you this morning, that we, each and every one, have been given a call and have been personally called, personally directed by Christ to go out into the world with the good news of His resurrection, the good news of His love, His forgiveness, His atoning sacrifice, and share it with the world in which we live. I'm not ashamed to say this to you again today. I'm not ashamed to reemphasize it, because it is the foundation of our message to the world. The good news, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, our calling and mission as a church, as a Methodist church, is based around three things. Make disciples, transform the world, follow Jesus, make disciples, transform the world. When you see a Methodist logo, if you go to the United Methodist Church website, the Western North Carolina website, you'll see that logo in a triangle shape, three parts to the triangle. Follow Jesus, make disciples, and transform the world. Now, how are we doing that here? What is our specific call, and how are we doing that? You need to think about that, I think. We all need to think about that. Are we living out this call? And I think that we could all agree that that's a very scriptural mission for our church, for the United Methodist Church. Today, particularly, what I want to talk about is making disciples. It's taking this commandment from the 28th chapter of Matthew, the last words that Jesus spoke, that are recorded in this gospel, and taking it to the world. Now I want to read once again verses 16, 17 in the first line of verse 18. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying... All right, let's just stop there for a moment. I want you to notice three things here that must take place in us realizing and accepting our call, our mission in this world. The first thing you see is that the disciples obeyed Jesus. The disciples obeyed Jesus. If we go back just a little earlier in this chapter to verse 10 of chapter 28, and once the women that had come to the tomb, it says here in this passage, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, it names those two. He says to them, after they recognize who He is, He tells them, do not be afraid, go and tell My brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see Me. The 11 disciples, it says then in this passage that we've read this morning, the 16th verse, that they went. The first thing that we see here is that the disciples obeyed Jesus. Folks, the first thing for us to understand in understanding our call, in understanding the mission that has been laid out for us in this world, is that we just have to first and foremost obey Jesus. We have to hear Him. We have to understand that it's Him, and we have to obey. Now, we can rationalize things. The disciples, wouldn't it have been so easy for them to say, these women must have been just a little off that day. They were so filled with grief, so filled with anxiety, that when the tomb was empty, they imagined this. They conjured it up because they really wanted to. Well, folks, that's not the case. We know that. And I want you to know that the first thing that each one of us, the first thing that you have to do, the first thing that I have to do every day is obey Jesus. I think it was at one of the Promise Keepers meetings that we went to a few years ago. One of the speakers, I don't remember which one it was, said something to the effect that when you get up first thing in the morning, men, he said, what you need to do is just go ahead and say yes to God. Get it over with. Say, I'll do it, because you know He's going to be calling on you during the day. Just go ahead. First thing, say yes. That's what we have to do. Each of us, each and every day, is confess, admit, declare that we're going to obey Jesus. The second thing that we see in this passage is that there is a strange combination here of worship and doubt. Those two don't seem to go together, do they? And I'm not sure that I've quite figured out the relationship and how those two work together there. But it says in verse 17, when they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. Worship and doubt. Just how does that work out and how does that fit together? How can the two coexist? How can you worship God if you have doubt? And we don't want to admit that sometimes, that we have doubt. That's unchristian. That's faithless, isn't it? But I tell you that it's not. It's okay not to understand everything, every day, all the time. It's okay to be dealing with loss of someone that you love, that you just don't understand. It's okay, Mary. It is. It's okay for each one of you who are dealing with sick folks in your family that are life-threatening illnesses, not to understand completely. It's okay to do that. But the thing these disciples did, it didn't say some worshiped and some doubted. It said they came and worshiped, but yet some doubted. You see, that's the key to this part here. That's why faith or worship and doubt can exist together, is that as long as we are laying it before God and saying, God, I don't understand it all. I don't have all the answers. I don't know that I ever will. As long as we're doing that and worshiping Him, we can live faith and doubt, worship and doubt can live together, because there's nothing that is ever any more strongly entrenched in your faith life than when you had doubt and that doubt was resolved because of drawing closer to Christ. So it's okay to have doubt, folks, but you still got to come to Jesus. You still have to do that first thing. You still have to obey Him, and you still have to worship. It's okay. Obey Jesus. And it's okay to have some doubt in there as long as we continue to worship and come before Him. And the third thing we see there is that even in the midst of the doubt that was present among the closest people on earth to Jesus as He lived and ministered during His time with them, the thing that we still see there is, even in the midst of this doubt, Jesus does what? He still comes to them. He still comes to them. Verse 18, the first part of it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them. The doubt didn't run Jesus away from them. The doubt didn't change Jesus' mind about who they were and His calling upon them that He had placed. The doubt didn't change any of that. Jesus still comes. So wherever you are today, wherever your faith and your walk with Christ is taking you, Jesus will come to you. He will come to you wherever you are. Now, I want to look at another set of three as we look at the second half of this passage that I've read this morning. With that second portion of verse 18 through the end, Jesus spoke and said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We see three things here in these verses. Three things that Jesus gave His disciples to deal with, to combat any doubt or uncertainty that they may have. So, now, I'm just gonna say that every one of us probably, we got doubt at some point, sometime, some way. If not right this minute, then tomorrow when we get to work, or when you deal with that person at school or somewhere, you're gonna have doubt about just what God is doing in your life. So God gives three things here in this passage to deal with the uncertainty that in any doubt that you may have. First of all, He gave the assurance of His power. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. In other words, there is not anything that He cannot do. There is no addiction that's present in any human being on the face of this earth that Jesus Christ cannot take away. There is no disease, no illness, no sickness that He cannot touch and cure. Now, does that mean that He does in every case and in all times? Of course not. We know that's the case. But you see, the thing is that we don't have to depend on healing and deliverance from these various things in this life. We have the assurance and the certainty of deliverance eternally by being able to stand in His presence and live with Him forever because of the cross. We have the assurance of His power and His ability to stand before God on our behalf, and that His sacrifice will be sufficient for us. We don't have to worry about enough of power, enough ability to do it on our own. Christ has assured us of His sacrifice is sufficient. The second thing that He gave His disciples to deal with any doubt or uncertainty was that He gave them a commission. He says there in verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All nations baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He didn't say just go to these few people. He didn't say just go to Americans that are white like us and middle income like us. He didn't say just go to Democrats or to Republicans. He didn't say just go to men or go to women, but to all nations baptizing in His name. You see, the key is that we're going in His name and not our own. Because the name of Jesus, the love of Christ, crosses all boundaries that we've drawn out on maps, all boundaries that we have erected as between people that would keep us apart. In the name of Jesus, we do this. He has given us a commission. He has given us direction. It can't get a whole lot plainer than what we've got it there, folks, in that 18th verse or 19th verse. Go, therefore. Go. It is a verb. It doesn't say sit in your churches and pray that it'll happen. He says go and do it. It is a commission that has been given us that we are to carry that good news. And folks, we can't do it 1 hour a week or 1 hour every 2 weeks or 2 hours a week or 3 hours a week. We have to live our lives in such a way that we are carrying the good news, that we are sharing the gospel in everything that we do, on our jobs, and at the grocery store, in the doctor's office, wherever we are. We have to live the life that He has called us to. He has given us a commission. We don't have to wander around and wonder what we do. He has given us a commission, and that is the greatest thing. You know, there's anything that we can ever do positive, it's so much easier. Any accomplishment is so much easier when the task is laid out before us, when the goal is set. That's what Jesus has done for us. He says, go and make disciples. Go. We don't have to wonder what to do. Now, there's all kinds of ways that we can do this, but He says, go. We are told to go this morning, folks. The third thing that He gave His disciples to deal with any doubt or uncertainty that they might have was that He gave the promise of His presence. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We aren't asked to do this by ourselves, on our own. We aren't asked to come up with means and ways by which we can share the good news. He has told us that He will be with us. His presence will be with us. And we know, of course, that it came and is still with us at Pentecost. Jesus has told us that He will be with us, help us, and guide us. He says, don't worry about what you'll say, because the Holy Spirit will say it for you, will give you the words to speak. Trust Him. Believe in that. Go, He says. The Holy Spirit will be with you. You know, it must have been a very daunting task that seemed to lay before those 11 uneducated men that He had chosen that were left behind. It must have been an seemingly insurmountable directive that Christ had given these men from Galilee that had been told to go and to change the world. 11 uneducated, humble men of lowly means, poor, and yet God, through His Son, Jesus, had told them to change the world. This would have been a task that seemed impossible. But Jesus never leaves us simply with a job to do. He promises us His presence. And this morning, I ask you to ask yourself and to search your own heart. Is He calling you this morning? Is He calling you this morning to not just stand at the empty tomb and gaze in there, but to do as the disciples did, to obey Him, to go where He said, and even in the midst of any doubts, to worship Him and continue to call upon Him, and know that He will come to you and be present? Maybe this morning Christ is calling you to give your life to Him, to call upon Him to change and transform the heart of stone that's in you to a heart of flesh. Maybe He's calling you to a renewal of a commitment that you've made before. Maybe He's calling you to a healing of the soul, not just a physical healing, but a healing of the soul that has been hurt so bad by someone or something. Maybe He's calling you to a particular ministry. Maybe He's laid on your heart to be involved in something that's already going on here at this church. Or maybe He's laid on your heart a direction or a ministry that should happen. But there's no doubt, whichever direction He's leading you, whichever direction He may be calling you, He is calling you. And I ask you this morning, as we close and sing our final hymn, that you search your heart, and that you ask Christ to change you and transform you and to show you where He's leading you this day. I invite you to give your life and all that you are to Him now. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Son Jesus. We thank You, Lord, that He didn't simply walk out of that tomb and that was it, but that He gave us a purpose and a direction for our lives. Lord, may we call upon You now to transform us where we are, bring us closer to You. And for every heart this morning, Lord, that may be troubled, that may be searching, Lord, You said that You stand at the door and knock. Lord, I pray that You would move us all to open that door and allow You into a closer place within our hearts and lives. Lord, may You do Your work. In Jesus we pray. Amen.